Genesis chapter 12. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you need a minute, hurry up. Thank you for being back there, Mike. I could use that help. I'm excited about this. Bible says, Genesis chapter 12, three verses, looking at the call of Abram. God later changed his name to Abraham. So if I misspeak and call him Abraham, I'm talking about the same guy. Abram is called, God later changed his name to Abraham. Bible says, Genesis 12, 1. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Lord, we come before you this morning, knowing that you are mighty and awesome. Lord, knowing that you meet us here, and Lord, that you call us, Lord, to leave a lot behind, Lord, and that you make promises to us, Lord, so that we might follow you. Lord, I pray, Lord, as even as we talk about this ministry opportunity that is becoming available to us in this community, and the call goes out to those in this congregation, Lord, that there will be sacrifice, there will be challenge, and there will be reward, Lord, and that you would make that call firm, Lord, that we would hear from you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Well, I asked Pastor Dave to come on up. He is a recent transfer to California from Minnesota, and God put a call on his heart to come, and there was great sacrifice that was involved. Can you share with us that with us, Pastor Dave?
Thank you, Pastor Baum. Yes. Actually, this call started about 10 years ago, if that makes any sense. But 10 years ago was the first time that I came to this church with a call on my heart. And at that time, I had an opportunity to work in the church that I was at when I called Pastor Bob and told him that I wanted to come out here for 2 years. And I went to talk to my pastor at that church, and he said, well, gee, David, what about doing that right here? And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, there's a guy in the church that wants to pay your salary if we put you on staff. And the salary was about 30 grand a year, and I had a nice place with all this nice furniture and everything. And the call here wasn't just to come here, but to give everything I had away and come. And so I consulted with some people. Abram, he didn't talk to anybody but God. I had to talk to some other people. And I talked to five different people, a couple of them pastors, three of them were Christian brothers of mine. And four of them said, well, it's a no-brainer. You stay here. You got an income. You got a nice place. You got all your furniture. You got all your stuff. And one of the pastors said, no, God wants you in San Diego. And it's interesting how God prepares, and as Pastor Bob talks about Abram, how, you know, the promises that he made him didn't happen instantly. Sometimes we have to wait. And way back then, God was preparing this Celebrate Recovery program. And I did give everything away, and I came here. And when I got here, I had only raised about $400 in support.
A month.
I'm sorry, $400 is what I say.
Well, that's different, way different than $3,000 a month.
Yeah, Pastor Bob said, well, how much are you going to raise? I said, well, I'm going to have at least $2,000 a month to live out there. And he laughed, and I raised $400, and I came anyhow. Didn't have a place to live. I got here. God provided a place to live for me. The most I ever made that whole time in those 2 years was $800 a month. And I have to tell you, I've been rich, I've been poor. And those 2 years, I never had a need for anything. And when I felt like there was going to be a need, it was interesting how God just jumped in and provided. So the Celebrate Recovery program is getting started now, but this is something God had planned 10 years ago. I didn't know that, but I know now. So thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Call of God, series called Finding Faith. Could you make that jump? Could you make that leap? We look at the life of Abraham. Look at the life of Abram. Through God, through Abraham, God would make a nation. The letters for Lord in Genesis, in this chapter 12, all caps, you'll notice. And what that means when you read that is Yahweh. That is what they call the Tetragrammaton. And take a look at Yahweh, and sometimes you hear him referred to as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Have you heard that before? Well, Abram became Abraham, and Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? Tracking with me? Now, Jacob had 12 sons, and God changed Jacob's name, who comes from, means deceiver, to Israel, that means one who struggles with God. And so Israel had 12 sons. Those sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. And so we see where this is going. The sons of Israel went into Egypt, became slaves, but came out a great nation. We see all this plan of God, this great design of God to make his people. And we shrink back from that grand plan and we focus on one man, Abram, the father of the faith. Called to leave all that he had. Faith, you can see that acrostic there. Forsaking all, I take him. I remember when I was first saved, Pastor Glenn Cole used to say, forsaking all, I take him. Faith. And that is what Abram is called to do. Leave everything that you know and lean on me. That is what happened with Pastor Dave. Leave everything that you know and lean on me. It won't come the way you expect it, but it'll be good. Amen? Amen? We're going to take a look at the call of Abram, and we're going to start our look at finding faith. Number one, it all starts off with God. God has spoken to your heart. You are here today. Somebody's here for the first time today, and God has orchestrated that visit in just a miraculous way. We were laughing at it before the beginning of service. All starts with God. We'll start off with Genesis. I'll read the second half, and then we'll go back to the first. I'm going to make you into a great nation. Roki, you like that promise? I'll make you into a great nation. It would be the Camacho Nation. And they would look back to Roki as the father of the nation. That is the promise that went out to Abram. I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. How many people want to be blessed by God? I'll take that blessing. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God makes promises. God speaks to Abram. And it's not just Abram that God is making promises to. We see many promises in Genesis, all the way back to chapter 1 of Genesis. God made a promise to Adam and Eve. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. A blessing to Adam and Eve. Amen? Amen. Now, if you jump ahead 10 generations, you will land on Noah. Approximately, just a tad over 1,000 years. And God makes another promise, a promise to Noah. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, very similar, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. And so Adam was the start. Noah became a fresh new start. If you jump ahead 10 generations, just a smidge under 1,000 years, you run right into Abram. And you see this pattern in the book of Genesis where God is, he made a fresh start with Noah by destroying everything. And he makes a promise and he says, I'm never going to do that again. And so he picks out one man and he says, you are going to be my fresh start. All people will be blessed through you. You will shine my light. 10 generations, 10 generations, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. God has got a plan. Amen? All right. God makes some demands. You're going to fill God's plan. He's going to make some demands on you. This is not a request. It's a demand. It's an order. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household, and go to the land I am going to show you. He makes all those promises, and then he makes some demands. Because if Abram is going to get where God is going to lead him, he is going to have to leave his past behind. Thank you. Let me say that again. If Abram is going to get where God is going to lead him, he's going to have to leave his past behind. Amen. Oh, much better. Thank you very much. Now, we have to ask ourselves, I mean, he's saying, leave all this stuff, leave everything that you know, and go to a place that you do not know. And you could wonder, is God just being tough on Abram? Is God just being tough on us? Is Jesus' request to put a focus on him above everything else unrealistic? Well, we take a look, and I did some research for you, and you go to Joshua 24:2, and we find out what God is asking Abram to leave behind. He says, long ago your forefathers, including Terah, Terah was Abram's father, the father of Abram and Nahor, who was Abram's brother, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. And in fact, he was called out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and in Ur they worshipped, let me get it right, Nammu, who was the goddess of the moon. And God said, you are never going to get to where I want you to be. You are never going to be what I want you to be if you don't leave all of this paganism behind you. In fact, the Torah, which is some stuff that kind of goes along beside the some Hebrew manuscripts, say that Terah, Abraham's father, worked in making idols. And God is saying, you got to leave all this behind. I have got this new future for you. But you are not going to get to this new future if you keep dragging around your past. Can I get a witness on that? Yes. And so we see that the promises that God has and the demands that God makes are both dovetailed in to get you where you need to go. Amen? See, there's things that you have going on in your life that are going to get between you and God. And God is going to come and speak to your heart and say, you got to leave that stuff behind. Abram is forced to make a choice. Leave everything you know and lean on God. You're going to get to where God wants you to go, you got to leave some stuff behind. My question for you this morning is, what is holding you back from following God? I have shared with you before about my call to the ministry and how, well, some of you maybe not. I was called to the ministry. It was on a Sunday night service. God just spoke right to my heart. I had a computer drafting business that I had a partner, and we set up engineers with computer systems, and the Lord spoke to my heart. And I went to my partner on Monday and I said, I got to go. Do you want to buy me out? And he's like, are you joking? Yeah, of course I want to buy you out. This thing's just starting to roll. And I'm going, I can't be here anymore. I have to go. And I ended up selling the business to him a really incredible story. I'll cut it short. But I left to go to Bible college, and I was there for 2 years. But the summer, so it was like a year. It was like 18 months because I went after one summer and cut one short. And he paid my tuition as the payments for buying the business. And the month I graduated, he filed bankruptcy. That God kept him there to keep me going, right? To go on that path. I had to leave stuff behind. I had not thought about this until this morning, last night, that I was preparing to go to Bible college. It was the last day, and I was going to go see my partner, and I was in my truck, and it was like 4 o'clock. I was leaving first thing the next morning to go to school, and I was thinking, you know, I don't really need my truck. I canceled my car insurance because I didn't have any money except for the tuition, and because I wouldn't be driving it at Bible college, and I pull it in, and this guy runs right into my truck, wrecks it. I mean, just wrecks the car, and I got no insurance. So I leave to Bible college with nothing. And I've been following the Lord ever since. You know what? God can do a whole lot with nothing. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Abram takes a step. So Abram left just as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Abram went as God told him. Well, Abram might have went where God was leading him, but he didn't go the way that God told him to go. Because if you see, he had Lot with him. Now, Lot was his nephew. It was his father's grandson. Now, he's supposed to be leaving his father's household behind. Amen? Say amen. Come on, that means... all right. So, all right, so track with me here. God says, I want you to leave your country. Okay, he's doing that. I want you to leave your father's household. My question is, what's he doing traveling with Lot? Now, maybe if Lot was his mother's son, or his mother's sister's son, right? Of his mom's line. Hey, there's no getting away from the fact that Lot is part of his father's household. And I want you to realize that we're kind of hitting this midstream. And we need to rewind just a second, because this trip actually starts 25 years earlier than we're talking about right here. And if we take a look back at the end of chapter 11, verses 31 and 32, Terah, who is Abram's father, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot of Haran, who was his brother, his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there, and Terah lived 205 years, and he died. And he died in Haran. Now, there's a lot of geography here. But what I want you to notice, that it appears that Abram's father is the one who's steering the boat. Can I get a witness on that? Track with me on this. It is not Abram who's saying, Dad, we got to go because I got a message from God. It is Terah who says, we're leaving. And so Terah takes all of his stuff, and Abram is just riding along with Dad. You think, well, wait a minute. Maybe God didn't talk to him yet. Well, the Bible tells us when God talked to him. Genesis 12:1, the Lord had said to Abram. It wasn't like they were in Haran, and God said... In Haran, when they were leaving, God had said. And the question is when did God say? And if we go to Acts chapter 7, verse 2, Peter preaching, he says, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. So if we take a look at what is going on, Terah leaves Ur of the Chaldeans and Abram goes with them in direct contradiction to the message of God. It's hard to leave your past when you're dragging along with you. God gave Abram a brand new way to live, and he is living the same old way. God calls us to faith where we would trust in him, and we have a struggle. We want to trust in him or trust in our own selves. Because Abram is finding it difficult to lean upon the Lord. Amen? Found it easier to lean on his father than to trust God. When you lean on your own understanding, it's easier to get stuck halfway. Halfway. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they'd acquired were in Haran. His father's stuff. Dad was dead. It appears that they only left Haran because Dad died. So he had to leave Dad behind because he's dead, but he's taken all Dad's stuff. This is where Haran is. You see, Ur the Chaldeans, way down there, kind of Babylon is down there too. This whole culture, I'm going to look on this screen. We can look on a different screen. This whole culture, Chaldea, reached up. Haran is the very edge of that culture. And so Terah, Abram's father, leaves Ur the Chaldeans, gets as far as Haran, which is the edge of that culture. They're still worshiping the moon. He can still make his idols. He can still do all of his stuff. And they stay there for 25 years. And Abram is 25 years late getting to Canaan. So you lean on your own understanding, it's easy to get stuck halfway. When I was 18 years old, I got 2 DUIs in 6 months. My son is 17. I had been loaded every day when I hit my 18th birthday since I was 15. 2 DUIs in 6 months, that's a display of somebody a little bit out of control. Amen? Amen. And I came, my dad, boy, you're out of control, son. And I stopped using drugs. For 6 months, I was straight. And I got a job pulling tires at Commercial Tires in Fresno. And there was this guy standing there, and all he talked about all the time was Jesus. He talked about the Holy Spirit and baptism, the Holy Spirit, and following God and loving God. And, you know, it never stuck. I was 18 years old, left that job, went back to school, never got tied into church, it wasn't clicking. I was going to college, and my chemistry partner was just a real dummy. And I was carrying him through the class, and one day he said, "Come on, let's go do some coke." And I'd never really done coke, and I said, "Okay," and we never even got to the coke, just started smoking weed, and I started smoking weed for another 10 years. I was 29 years old until I met the Lord. Pastor Paul, how old are you? You're 50, right? 51. Pastor Scott is like 40. No, he's like 45. I could be 9 years younger. I wouldn't be so old, be able to play football with my son. I got stuck. Abram got stuck, leaning on his own understanding. My question is, God's given you promises. God's called you to a new life. What's holding you back? Because if you're going to get where God is calling you to, you're going to have to leave a lot of the stuff in your past behind. Amen? All right. Abram gets to Canaan. Abram meets with God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen? Let me read that. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh in Shechem. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. In Canaan, there were Canaanites there. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now, Abram shows up in Shechem, which is in Canaan, and God shows up. I say there, Abram met with God. Really, God met with Abraham. And he said, "You're here. You are in the spot. This is your inheritance. I'm going to give your offspring." He didn't have any offspring at that time. "I'm going to give your kids this land. This is where you're supposed to be." And Abram makes a celebration, and he builds an altar. Now, I got this picture. This is an altar that's in Beersheba, which is in the Holy Land. And this guy's actually a pastor laying on it, because I want you to show the size of an altar. Because we think of altars, you call these altars. The altars that are in the Bible are nothing like these things that you come up and pray at. Altars were created for sacrifice. Altars were created for worship. This is a dressed, these were made of dressed stones. This is not the type of an altar that Abram would have made. Abram's altar would have looked more like this. This is a Canaanite altar in Megiddo. And it looks quite large. Now, this is, I showed you this one second because it's kind of hard to pick up out of the rocks. But when the Bible says that Abram made an altar, it was probably something that looked like this. And he had sheep and cows and all kinds of stuff, and it was made for sacrifice. All right? And so there would have been blood all over those rocks. There would have been all kinds of stuff. And I want to let you know that Abram was doing something brand new, because he came from a place that worshipped the moon goddess Nammu. And he arrived at a place that worshipped the god Baal. And what they were doing was nowhere near what the Lord was calling him to do. And so what he was trying to do was trying to find a way to put a focus on God. He was making it up as he went along. And he was trying, he was being guided by the Lord, and the Lord had a great purpose for him. He built an altar, God spoke to him. God had not spoken to him, as recorded in the text, in 25 years. And he says, "You finally got here. I've been waiting." There were Canaanites in the land. Canaanites were people that were lost in sin. Wherever the Lord is not there, there's going to be people lost in sin. Can I get a witness on that? It was a different kind of sin than Abram was used to. He was used to the moon goddess type of sin. You had Sodom and Gomorrah were in Canaan. They were so heinous that God destroyed those cities. And that is where Abram was called to be a blessing. God knew there were sinners there. God had a plan. Amen? Are we okay? I want to make sure. This is kind of cranial we're talking about here. From there he went on to the hills east of Bethel, pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Now, there was famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. Now, Abram got to the place where God was calling him, and he kept on going. He made another altar at Bethel, and he pinched his tent there, and he calls out to the Lord. And I'm wondering what he was crying out to God about. And I'm making some supposition here, but I think God, he was going, "God, are you kidding me? You see these people around here? They are psycho. There's no food. I got all this stuff. I got all these people. I got all these herds and flocks and animals and stuff. This land can't support me. He had got to the place that God had called him, and he kept on going. And he's crying out to God, what is going on? You see this map, that red line, he goes down from Ur of the Chaldeans, goes down to Haran, ends up here in the promised land in Shechem. He's right here. It's Jerusalem, Ai, and Bethel are right in here. Heads down to Egypt. What are God's people doing in Egypt? Egypt is not a good place for God's people. It is a place of slavery. Is it a place of captivity? That is where Joseph went when his brother sold him into slavery. Is where God's people lived for 400 years in slavery, and they cried out in their distress. That is not the plan of God. So you're going to get to where God has you. You got to leave your past behind. He shows up with all these people and all this stuff, and God's saying, I didn't call you here with all them. He said, you're 25 years late. I've got your back. Whoever curses you will be cursed. You were supposed to be here 25 years ago when there was no famine. You would have been set up, you and your wife, and you would have become a source of blessing for all these Canaanites lost in their sin as the famine came. Whoever blesses you, I will bless. You would have been the light in the midst of this entire culture lost in sin. But you're late. And you got all this crud around you, and now you can't do what I've called you to do. And he says, God, I'm heading to Egypt. See, you're going to do what God is calling you to do. There are things in your past that God is going to cause you to give up. God called Pastor Dave 10 years ago. We're starting to celebrate recovery 10 years. Shudder to think of all the alcoholics and drug addicts that have died in the last 10 years within two blocks of this church. Think of the impact in this community if I would have showed up 9 years earlier rather than heading back to my sin for 9 years. Abram was late. I dare speak. Think of the work that the Lord would do in this community through that school, through this feeding program, if we're not late. If those of you put your hand up, maybe the Lord spoke to your heart today and you said, I'd have to give something up. I'm not going to be involved in that. You'd be late. God called you to a place to accomplish his task. And the thing is he calls us to take a leap of faith. To stop relying upon ourselves and begin to rely upon him. And as Pastor Dave did that, he said, I never suffered for want. As Lisa and I have done this, we have not gotten paid much, but we have never suffered lack in following the Lord. Lisa, you can come up. My question for you this morning is, what is the Lord calling you to, and what is the Lord asking you to leave behind? Because they go hand in hand. I've had meetings with many of you talk about these things in your life that the Lord wants you to just leave. And some of you are doing it. And I see smiles. I saw smiles this morning as people walked in and said, man, you're leaving that stuff behind, aren't you? Because when you do, God's right there with you and say, you're in the spot I have called you to. Amen? Lord, I come to you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are mighty and awesome, Lord. Lord, that if we are going to follow you, we can't drag our past along with us, Lord, that there are things, there are people, there are choices, there are activities, there are behaviors that we need to leave in the past. Lord, I thank you for Celebrate Recovery, Lord, that we can leave our habits, that we can leave our hurts, and we can leave our hang-ups in the past and learn a way to live, Lord, as Abram was learning how to live a life of faith, that he became the father of the faith, that he did not start that way. Pastor Dave didn't start that way. I didn't start that way. But Lord, as we go along, Lord, and as we make mistakes, Lord, we learn and you would guide us into a path, Lord, of service and surrender, sacrifice to you. Lord, that we would lay on the altar like that guy was laying on the altar, Lord, that we would be living sacrifices. And this morning, perhaps the Lord is speaking to your heart. The Lord is speaking to your heart and saying, I have called you, and I am still waiting. You're holding on to your past. You're holding on to your dreams and your expectations and your desires. And the Lord is saying, I have new dreams, expectations, and desires for you. But you got to let the old ones up and let mine in. Lisa's going to sing, and the worship team is coming up in a minute. Not yet, but in a minute. We call these little things altars. And as we sing, I'm going to invite you to come and to make a private space with God. And say, God, I'm so sorry for making you wait. I don't want to make you wait anymore. Lord, I'm ready to leave my past behind. Lord, I don't know how to do it. Abram was learning as he went. Lord, I need you to teach me as I go. I just don't know how. We have people here that'll help. I'll help. Pastor Dave will help. Pastor Paul, Pastor Scott, Pastor Ramiro will help. Because we don't want to make God wait. Amen? Worship team, you guys can come. Lord, I thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, I thank you for your call, Lord. And I thank you that you guide us. Stand. Let's all stand. As they begin to sing, I would just invite you, Lord has spoken your heart, to just come and just kneel. Kneel up here and just have a private discussion with God. God would meet with you. You can cry out to God and say, God, is this it? God can speak. He spoke to Abram. He can speak to you as we sing. Come.